It's up to you and me to shine a guiding light and lead the way. United by our cause, we have the power to pursue what we believe. We'll achieve the realization of our dreams.
Hello there, Vaughan Bennison with you once again for this edition of New Horizons. Thanks for joining me. One of the things that is often discussed in the blind and vision impaired community is employment. The statistics for unemployment in the blind and vision impaired community are quite staggering. I've heard as much as 80% of blind or vision impaired people are out of work. And remembering, this is blind and vision impaired people who are of working age and should be able to work. One of the reasons is technology. We've come ahead in leaps and bounds in technology in the last 30 or 40 years as far as employment goes. We now have accessible computer systems. Some office equipment is accessible, although most generally is not, and workplaces are becoming more aware of the needs of people with a disability. However, it's not yet good enough. To talk to us about this today, Kate Begley. Kate is a government relations and policy advisor with Vision Australia. To try to combat this issue, Vision Australia joined with 24 other disability organisations to put forward a statement to government requiring that a recent standard, which was adopted by Standards Australia to improve accessibility to computer systems and office equipment, which is currently a voluntary standard, be made a requirement for government and public service. Kate, welcome to the programme.
Thank you, Vaughan.
Government Relations and Policy Advisor for Vision Australia, what does that mean exactly?
I work within Vision Australia's advocacy division, and my work is around representing the needs and rights of our clients, of people who are blind or have low vision, to all levels of government. So that means speaking at government hearings and inquiries and making submissions and meeting with ministers and advisors to talk about the issues that face our community.
Is it a whole team that works in this area?
Yeah, no, there is a team of us. There's a team of us across New South Wales, Victoria and Queensland. So, yeah, quite a few of us.
Mm. Now, the stats are pretty staggering, aren't they, about the level of unemployment of blind and vision impaired people?
Yeah, it's astonishing how much higher the unemployment rate is for people who are blind or have low vision compared to the general population. Really quite disgraceful. As we understand it, over 50% of people who are blind or have low vision are either unemployed, underemployed, or unable to work. So, yeah, I think a lot of action needs to happen for that to change and for things to, the situation to turn around.
Do you think there's a main cause for this, or do you think it's a variety of factors that impact here?
I think it's a variety of factors. Some of them are systemic, like what our joint statement was advocating about, which is the accessibility of workplaces. Office equipment is often inaccessible to people who are blind or have low vision, computer systems and things like that. I think there's a lot of unconscious bias that people have, employers might have towards someone who's blind. They just can't work out how on earth they would employ someone who's blind. So that's about raising awareness about the capability of people who are blind or have low vision. Some people have got concerns around potential OH&S risks, some employers, that is. And then there's the other side of things, where often people who are blind or have low vision might have not had access to work experience when they were younger, going through high school and university. And then that impacts on your soft life skills, and you're not able to compete on the level playing field as people who have had all those years of work experience, for example. So a combination of things, yeah, lots to change.
One of the things that always strikes me as impacting significantly on this statistic is the fact that many of the roles available to blind and vision impaired people historically no longer exist. There are very few piano tuners about, for example. you know, they don't have the, for want of a better term, the sheltered workshops or the facilitated environments for doing factory work and things like that that existed previously. Do you think that there are roles now that are available to blind and vision impaired people that historically have been unavailable?
I think, yeah, with accessibility becoming greater and greater for people who are blind or have low vision, white-collar work in offices, work that involves the use of computers, for example, has opened up for people who are blind or have low vision in a way that it might not have many years ago. So, yes, the piano tuner workforce might have changed, but with that has brought a whole raft of employment opportunities within offices, so long as the equipment is accessible, which is, you know, one of the issues that we face. But it can be accessible.
Mm.
Given the right mandates.
And I think that's a big thing, isn't it? That's what the joint media statement is about. Let's move on to that. Accessibility and technology has been a wonderful thing for a whole lot of people, including blind and vision impaired people under certain circumstances, but it can be a real hindrance, can't it?
Yes, it can really disrupt. So it might seem like we're going forth in leaps and bounds for people who are blind or have low vision and for the general population, but with things like lots of buttons and knobs being removed from all sorts of technology and things that we use around the house, for example, it sets you back because you're left with a touch screen or something that isn't tactile, and it actually disrupts you and stops you from doing the things that you need or want to do.
Yeah, it's interesting you say that. One of the things that always amuses me when I go appliance hunting is the salespeople come running over, oh, you should look at this one. This one will be better for you. It's got fewer buttons.
Yeah, no. The opposite is true in my case.
Indeed.
Exactly.
Now, tell me about the joint statement that Vision Australia and you specifically are responsible for commencing.
Yes, I'd love to. So we decided to do a joint statement because we were aware that the issue of unemployment for people with disability crosses a lot of disabilities, not just people who are blind or have low vision. And we thought that a united front with a lot of people within the disability sector would make a powerful statement to decision makers, as opposed to just, you know, a letter from one organisation, ourselves, Vision Australia. It's better to come from many. And with that in mind, we approached disability service providers and peak bodies across the nation. We made phone calls, we sent out emails, and we had such a positive response. Within a couple of weeks, we had 24 signatories, and we had responses from people like, oh, this is wonderful, it's about time, sign us up, great initiative, keep up the good work. You know, there was a lot of positivity around it, and people were glad to be uniting to come forward to ask for this mandate that would potentially increase employment opportunities for all people with disability.
So what is it that you're asking government to do?
Last year in March, an Australian standard was adopted that makes sure that there are guidelines in place for the procurement of technology to be accessible to people with disability. But that standard is voluntary. In other words, people buying this stuff don't have to follow it. And if they don't have to, there's a very good chance they won't. So what we're asking for is that it be made compulsory. And after it, if we succeed in that, if it's mandated, then it's also widely promoted and there's training provided for the procurers of this technology and equipment. So our joint statement is to really call for this standard to be mandated and promoted and then eventually monitored.
And we're talking here specifically about government bodies and the public service, right?
Yes, correct. Yes, it's initially this standard was adopted within the Australian Public Service, adopted on a voluntary basis. So we're asking for it to be mandated within the Australian Public Service. And of course, the standard can be used within the entire community. Public and private sector should be following this standard so that the whole Australian workforce is more open to people with disability and people who are blind or have low vision.
Why now? Why has this not been done sooner, given the fact that the Americans with Disabilities Act had provisions in it for the US nearly 30 years ago? Why is Australia so far behind the eight ball here?
Yeah, that's a good question. And I don't know the entire history of this standard. What I do know is that it was adopted by Standards Australia in December 2016, which is pretty recent. And when it was adopted, many of us in the sector looked to see if it was a voluntary or a compulsory standard. And once we found out that 2016 adoption was voluntary, that's when we all sort of got the ball rolling and thought, let's work out how we can really urge government to mandate it. Because as you know, Vaughan, in America and Europe, it is a compulsory standard.
It's interesting, isn't it? Standards Australia, which is the body which is responsible for making sure that all of the Australian and New Zealand standards are kept and updated and monitored. I mean, how can it be a standard if it's voluntary?
Yeah, that's true. I suppose, you know, the guidelines are all there. And as I've been told by, you know, some people believe perhaps that people will do it out of you know, goodwill or out of a sense of doing the right thing. And I'm sure everyone does want to do the right thing. We're not doubting that. It's more the time and pressures of life means if it's voluntary, don't have to do it.
Mm.
You probably may not take that extra time in the day to seek out the complicated guidelines, to learn what they mean, and then to follow them. So, yeah, it's good that it exists, but it's there's one more step to go.
You submitted the statement a couple of weeks ago now. What's been the response so far?
It was a great response. We're very happy. We feel like the statement has been a success in that what it led to was a meeting with the Digital Transformation Agency only 2 days after we sent it out to a number of decision makers. And it was a very positive meeting with the agency. And we've also been, they've committed to ongoing conversations with us and are very happy to hear from us the things that we're seeking, and they want more information about it. So it's sort of like with the most engagement we've had so far and all very positive engagement. So we think that this united front has been successful, this joint statement.
Are you of the opinion that if the government actually comes in line with this and makes these standards mandatory, that it will have a significant impact on the corporate world as well as the government and public service world?
I think so, because these huge government agencies lead the way with procurement, and once technology and software starts to trickle into Australia that's completely accessible, that means that every other organisation buying equipment will suddenly have access to this very accessible stuff, and it will be quite easy to make their companies accessible because it's all been done. It's all been front-footed by government.
Mm. Are you aware of just how many people in recent times are underemployed or unemployed directly as a result of inaccessible technology?
I don't have a breakdown of that exact.
Right.
You know what that exact barrier is in terms of statistics, but anecdotally, I know so many people who are unable to sort of either continue their job or do a certain aspect of their job or begin a job or even apply for a job.
Mm.
Because of inaccessible technology, information and technology systems.
And of course, all blind and vision impaired people have had the experience of accessing a website or a computer program or whatever that isn't accessible that they really want to use and know just how frustrating that is.
Yeah, and you're completely blocked. Yeah, I have low vision myself and I've come across lots of instances like that where you just sort of throw in the towel, and move on to something else because you are blocked at that moment from the accessibility side of things.
And it's quite sad to think too that people making purchasing decisions about appliances or software or whatever they're choosing to buy will limit themselves by virtue of the fact that certain devices or technologies aren't accessible to them. I'm thinking particularly of appliances and some of the features that people would love to have but simply can't because of the fact that you can't use them.
Yep, that's true. And often the ones that are accessible seem to be more expensive because either they've been imported or they're more rare. There's not as many of them around. The scarcity of them, you're paying more.
Mm.
So,
Well, I wish you luck with this. What's the next step, Kate?
The next step is we're continuing our conversations and we're going to keep in close contact with our signatories of our joint statement to make sure we maintain the momentum that we had initially from releasing the joint statement and that we don't give up because it's really just the beginning of a lot of hard work for all of us to achieve this.
Kate Begley there, Government Relations and Policy Advisor with Vision Australia. That's it for this week's program. I hope you've enjoyed it. Don't forget, if you'd like to get in touch with BCA, you can call them on 1800 033 660. 1800 033 660. You can email bca at bca.org.au. BCA at bca.org.au. You can have a look on the website if you'd like to know more about Blind Citizens Australia and have a look at how you may donate, or perhaps you'd like some information sheets about blindness and low vision issues. The website is fully accessible, of course, as you might reasonably expect. That website is www.bca.org.au. Do take care, and we'll talk to you again next week.
We'll achieve the realization of a dream. Of our dreams.